Hilariously Melbourne.
Minus Nick today.
I know, we miss Nick. And okay, I miss Nick. Now
Leon misses him.
When you've got kids, unpredictable things can happen, Fev. You know this.
Yes.
And we've both got little toddlers at the moment. Toby's two.
Toby.
Daisy's one, but she'll be two soon. She's heading there.
Yeah, she's not far
and
off.
The thing about it is when your baby turns into a toddler, so not talking and not necessarily, you know, their little brains are still baby brains. So you've got to remember you can't trust them.
No.
And I say this because
can't trust them when they're 21.
I know, don't worry. Like, I just sort of I've got my little mate. So the other day Trixie was at school, and I came home and I was with Daisy, and we'd had the comedy night the night before.
Oh, yeah,
so I hadn't had a, I'd had a big night with the Fox Comedy Fest. Mm-hmm. So on Friday afternoon, I thought, you know, Daisy and Mummy will just have a little downtime in the lounge room. Yeah. I'll put on some Bluey, mix it up with a bit of Teletubby. She's gone retro, Daisy. Very fussy with her television.
Yep.
Likes the Teletubbies.
Really?
So I was mixing things up on the TV and I thought, I'll just pop my head on the pillow and just close my eyes while she's enjoying the TV.
Teletubbies,
Anyway, I don't know how much time passed. Teletubby, Teletubby, Dipsy, La La, Po. No, who's the other one? Dipsy, Lala, what have you done,
Fev? Let's not get bogged down. Jump back on the swings.
You got me off
Tinky
the
Winky.
Tinky Winky. Thank you, Darcy.
Darcy, wow.
Anyway, I'm lying there. I went off.
Yeah.
I went off. Yeah. I was off in La La Land.
Beautiful.
The next minute, I woke up to the most cracking pain, and I opened my eyes, and it might as well have been Chucky, but no, it was Daisy in front of me with a cricket bat, and she's clocked me over the head. With a cricket bat.
Wow, that can happen.
I know, but I'm looking at her, I'm like, ow, and I looked up and she's laughing. She's
devil
laughing.
Child. Oh, I love that.
Trixie started this thing. She like taps Trixie with her little hands, going tap, 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 and Trixie laughs her head off. So Daisy now thinks whacking someone in the face is
hilarious.
Funny.
I think that, mate, your kid is the best.
And Trixie's decided, because of Raya and the Last Dragon, she's riding to pretending she's a ninja in the lounge room.
Yeah.
But she, instead of a sword, she gets a cricket bat.
The fact that you have a cricket bat is more impressive than this whole story.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Why do you have a cricket bat?
Well, it's like it's a little wooden cricket bat that Trixie's been given at some stage.
Unbelievable.
Probably from my dad or my brothers.
It literally blown me away that you had a cricket bat in the house.
Well, I know. So in the lounge room, she does all this samurai stuff with a cricket bat.
Yeah.
And Daisy,
thinks
the knock to my head, I had a headache all day Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
The lump there is so painful. I put this cap on this morning and like went winced.
I just whacked you on the head before too.
I know. Remember
Sorry
I was saying
that.
You stopped doing that.
Yeah. But kids can do the worst things and they don't know. They don't even know their own power. They're like little bloody wrestlers.
They're dangerous.
Yeah, they are dangerous.
131060, how's your kid hurt you?
As a father, Boxy, you wouldn't get this.
No.
But when you get hit in the knackers.
Yeah.
When they jump on you. Because they don't know. So you just be laying on the floor and they just go in all knees. They just jump on you because they think that you're a big fatty. Daddy can cop this, and they just jump.
Yeah.
And you encourage it for a bit. Yeah, jump on me, get that. And they all come in, and then the blow bits,
that
when they
hurt.
Hit that, mate, there's no worse a pain.
And the thing is, they're little kids. Like, their little brains aren't even developed, but they've hurt you so badly, and then they just smile at you, and you just cuddle them and forgive them.
And as a father, you can't say what happened. Daddy, what's wrong? Well, you hit me in the... But you can't say that.
No, you can't. Well, what about even for me, Fev? Do you know what's happened? And this is even sadder. I can't close my eyes watching TV.
Fifi, Fev and Nick. The pre-season on The Fox.
I got whacked by my one-year-old watching television. I was lying there. I was just thought, I'll pop on some Bluey and some Teletubbies and I'll close my eyes on a cushion. And then Daisy's picked up a cricket bat and whacked me. And I don't mean gentle tap because that's the thing with toddlers.
Yeah.
They don't know that you can hurt someone. Mm. And I've got it's like a dinosaur egg on my head. But
did you say this is a fun game? It's my turn.
No. I love her so much. I cuddled because she could tell by Mummy's face, Mummy's scream, something went wrong. But I just can't. The worst part is, as I said, Fev, I can't sleep again.
You got a massive lump
around her. Like it's ruined. It's ruined afternoon nap time.
Should go get a scan on that.
Tash from Doncaster East. Hi, Tash.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning, Tash. Tash, have you been really hurt, brutalised by your children?
I have. I have two boys, 4 and 7. And this was during ISO. We were having a bit of a pillow fight. My youngest grabs a Pikachu toy that has one of those heavy battery packs in the bottom. And so I'm playing with my oldest. He throws the Pikachu up in the air, lands on the top of my head, cracks my head open. Four stitches later, blood everywhere, and Pikachu's in the bin.
Yeah, boys just take it to another level, don't they? They just go too far.
Yeah, the youngest has no fear.
Gee, wow. Emergency. Yeah. You don't expect to be an emergency just when you're playing with your kids.
My kid bashed me.
Yow.
Tash, getting stitches.
Yeah, you know what? We'll make your day. What about a wonderful Zonzo Estate wine pack? We'll send that to you.
For every stitch, we'll give you a bottle. It's a four pack. There you go.
There you go. It is actually true.
Thank you. You guys are amazing. Thank you.
That's no our pleasure, Tash. You're not alone either. Justin from Ringwood. Hey, Justin.
Hello.
Justin, what happened? How did your child hurt you, injure you?
Well, I was lying down the couch with my small little child, and she's managed to jump up and give us a nice headbutt in the chin.
Oh.
And it's caused two teeth to fall out.
No!
Oh. Justin,
wow. You lost two teeth.
Yeah, so missing like the right.
Fuck.
I tell you what,
the front two, the right two.
I'll
tell you what, Boxy, kids' heads, they're hard as cat's heads. They are so strong.
When they flick back and hit
flick
you.
Back. Oh, that's happened a couple of times to me. And it leaves me with a bit of a lump.
Yeah.
And Tobes or whatever other kid I had that had done it, they don't, nothing happens.
No, they're fine.
I don't understand.
Now, Justin, this may not make up for the two lost teeth, but what about a Zonzo Estate wine pack?
Oh, that'd be great.
There we go. Drown your sorrows. Bianca from Macrae. Hi, Bianca.
Hi, how are you all?
Bianca.
We're great, Bianca. Macrae, now, what happened? Similarly, you've got a 1.5-year-old. Is that right?
That's correct. I was making him a sandwich and he just learned to jump and he was very proud of himself. And, of course, I'm encouraging him. But he jumped, landed on my foot, which brought me to the floor, and he fractured my foot.
Oh! Did you end up in plaster?
Yes, I was in a moon boot for 8 weeks. I've only just come out of it.
No.
And, yeah, clean break through my third metatarsal. And, yeah, he was very proud of himself, and I was sort of in that mix of, like, I'm so proud, that was such a good jump. But
must have a tiny little foot. That would be unbelievable.
Because not that kind of.
But they're toddlers and they cause carnage. Like, I'll never get that vision, that image of Daisy holding a cricket bat as I open my eyes out of my mind.
But I find this all funny. Like, you getting hit in the head with a cricket bat, pisser, bloke losing two teeth. Imagine Bianca going down to the local at Macrae going, oh, geez, what happened to your moon? Well, how are you in a moon boot? Kid jumped on your foot. You just laugh.
Bianca, you got a Zonzo Estate wine pack as well. Just little treats to make you feel better.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
Beefy, Feb, and Nick. The pre-season on The Fox.
Hey, Survivor, the new Survivor on Channel 10.
Watching it?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
Do you know what? I'm not watching anything at the moment and I don't want any television networks to take this personally, but I can't get to the television. No. It is non-stop Bluey and Wiggles.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Anyway, so Australian Survivor, it's a shame though because I missed this moment. West Australian bodybuilder Kez.
Kez, what a shame. What's Kez done?
Kez, well, she knows the show because now it's very hard to say I don't know what happens in Survivor.
It's brains versus brawn. So it's usually the athletes, they get famous people and then they get smart people, which is the brains.
Well, she's a bodybuilder, so she's all muscle and fit. But she's turned up and it's filmed in Australia up in Cloncurry. That's Queensland, isn't it?
Yeah, Outback.
Outback.
And in the Outback. And she was in a singlet and tiny shorts. And it drops to, I mean, even in Queensland, it's below 15 degrees. So she was a bit shocked at how cold it got.
Waking up, freezing cold, and just thinking, Kez, why didn't you pack a jacket? You're in the Outback in the freezing cold with a singlet and short shorts on. Good idea, Kez.
Just didn't think that through, did she?
No.
Like, you need it. As a mum, I never get in the car with the girls without wind cheaters or something.
Mm.
Just everyone gets cold at some stage. This did get the producers asking this question, which I'm now going to pose to the team.
Oh, I love this.
A good old fashioned.
Hypotheticals, time for us to test the team. Let's ask a question and see what they say.
Okay, which one of us would
I'm the bodybuilder.
I was king of the jungle.
Which one of us would be more successful in Survivor? And I'm going to say, we'll exclude Josiah because Josiah wants to actually be on this. And if there are any producers listening.
And he looks like he's come out of the wilderness.
He wouldn't get cold. He's got a rug on him.
You would nail it. So let's try and get you on Survivor.
It'd be my dream. That's all I want to do in life, go on Survivor. That's
when does
it.
That rash would go down?
I love it.
Your dream is to accomplish what a Perth bodybuilder has. Lofty goals.
To get him on.
Well, we'll try. We'll keep plugging away.
I say that I want to go on it, but I've never even tried out for it, so that's where I'm going wrong.
Here's your first test.
You've got to be in it to win it.
Yeah, and here's your first test. Next year, we'll actually help you with your submission.
Thank you.
To get on it.
But here's
hang on.
Survivor come to you and say, mate, you're in. We've got 6 weeks, so you've got to give up your job for someone else. Like, who was that dude that couldn't say my name right?
There were lots of wonderful people who auditioned for the job.
Rowan takes your job. But you get to go on Survivor or you keep your job for years here or go, what would you do?
I'm that confident in myself that I know I'll still have the job waiting for me when I get back.
Oh.
He's right though.
Tickets.
I keep your seat warm. He's wonderful, Josiah. Yeah, but here's your test, your first test, Josiah. Out of the three of us, who would win or do the best?
See, I know you just said a really nice thing to me then, Fee, so I kind of want to give it to you. Right. This is a no-brainer. It's Fev. No brainer.
I knew that. I knew he was going to say that. Because Fev pointed at himself.
And then
a tear ran down Fev's cheek.
I didn't say anything. It's just obvious.
No, he's king of the jungle and I'm a celebrity.
The jungle.
Yeah, you are.
I know the elements of the outback.
Pardon?
You're right. But think about it.
Curveballs.
Survivor. Now, don't get me wrong.
Just keep saying stuff. Curveballs. Yeah, elements.
I think Survivor, a fair bit of it is psychological manipulation of other players.
Ooh. Yeah, it is.
Do you see?
And do you reckon I couldn't psych anyone out?
Again, you're probably
psychological
right.
Psychological manipulation, which is bullying.
He's doing the eye triangle.
I'd have all the
thing.
Girls covered.
He'd be just.
Wow.
And I'll be having, hey, bro, come over here, bro.
Yeah.
And we're just like, I'd have a great alliance. I wouldn't have an alliance if I was in Survivor.
Solo.
I'd just be honest. I'd do the honest
right,
game.
And solo dolo.
I'd do the honest game. And I probably wouldn't win it because I'd get knifed.
You'd win it.
But I'd be the honest, and I'd go in there with my head held high and walk out with my head held high.
You would too. That's why we have to watch Josiah. I worry you'd get knifed.
No, I'd be nice to your face, and I'd be the one doing the daggers behind your back.
Mate, you're reading him wrong, Boxy. How would you go, Fee?
He just very comfortably said to me, I'd be nice to your face.
On Survivor?
You're right.
Not in the studio.
You're reading him wrong.
Well, how do we know? How would you go, Fee?
Oh, I wouldn't be there. No.
Fee wouldn't even go.
The only way to win is not to play.
Fee would look at her bank account and go, I don't need to.
No, just no interest at all.
How would you go?
I like creature comforts.
Terribly.
I don't think I'd go well. Why?
It's like outdoors in the sun. Bad time for a pasty ranger.
Well, so you're saying no redheads can go on it? That's been a bit.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Just sounded good. I reckon you all go right. You'd have a good game. You'd have a good talk game.
I'd align myself to someone like you.
Yeah. And then you'd knife me.
No.
With Josiah.
No, I'd go the whole way with you.
Yeah.
So you say, Fee, that now people could honestly say, nobody can say they don't know how Survivor works.
Yes.
I've never seen a second of it. So
you're
saying knifing, games, whatever, I don't know.
Oh, well.
I don't know.
It's all about telling lies to people's
making
faces.
Making alliances.
And then,
saying, we'll do this together and I'll vote for you and you vote for me. But then behind the person's back, I'm going to go and vote for someone
else. That's the only thing I dislike about Survivor. It's just a dishonest game. Mm. That's what I don't like. It brings out really bad vibes. So I'm going to say the celebrity get me out of here, which is a great game. I was obviously on that game, but I think it was a good game because Australia vote you out, not the people inside the
camp
vote you
out. Well, not the last series. Now reality television.
Yeah, I'm just saying for
when you did it.
Yeah, because you know what I mean? It's out of everyone's hands, so you can just be mates. It's not a game of knifing people.
Yeah, Josiah, maybe you shouldn't do this. Yeah.
Are you sure? It's bad for the show.
Bad for you.
Sorry to talk you out of your dream.
Beefy, Fev and Nick. The pre-season on The Fox.
Is it amazing? Yes, it's amazing.
We love your amazing stories. And to be honest, we love it when we don't love them too. Yeah. That's the beauty of this segment. You just have a crack, you tell the story, and regardless of whether or not it's amazing or not, you'll get the $100 iconic voucher.
Bang. Oh, hold on, I never got that, and I've told my horrendous bear story so many times.
It's so true. But a great time to shop online at the iconic, right?
Absolutely.
The iconic. Hard up, mate. We can get the hat around if you want something.
Get my hat, fit more cash in it.
The iconic's your one-stop pick shop for fashion, sports, kids, toys and beauty with fast delivery and free returns.
Now we have Carol from Hawthorne East. Hi, Carol.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Morning. Now, Carol, what is your amazing story?
Well, back in 50 years ago, 1971, I was born today and on my mum's birthday, who is now, she's turning 75 today.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Yeah. And
thank you.
So your mum had you on her birthday.
Wow.
Yeah, so when she was 25, she had a lovely bundle of joy called me.
Oh, happy birthday to mum. Happy birthday to Carol.
Oh, thank you.
Nick, what do you think?
Well, I just think that never happens. How often do you have a child born on the same day as their mum?
Well, I think it's amazing. You're really nice what, Nick.
Happy birthday.
It's Carol.
Thank you so much.
Still get the voucher.
Yeah. Carol.
Oh, that's fine. My daughter will probably claim that.
Oh, I love that. Do you know what I love? Carol thanked you for that, Nick.
Yeah.
She genuinely liked that. I can't believe it's your birthday and you got that today, Carol. But there's your iconic voucher. Well done. Have a great day. And happy birthday to your mum too.
Thank you, guys. You guys rock. Thank you so much.
Happy birthday, Mumsy.
So happy. Lee in Mornington. Hi, Lee.
How's it going?
Yeah, great, Lee. Looking forward to this. What's your amazing story?
So about 5 years ago, I was just having a few beers with the boys, and I don't know how the topic came up, but someone just said, do you reckon you've ever been given the same banknote back in change after using it prior?
Yeah.
So we came up with a bit of an experiment and got about 10 $5 notes, and I put my my initials just in the corner.
That's illegal, Lee. You know that, don't you?
Oh, my bad.
Don't worry, Lee. We're not police officers.
Oh, thank you. And we got the notes, and I just dispersed them through local businesses over the next couple of days. And then, now buckle up. This is where the story really takes off.
All right. Here we go.
You never get a buckle up.
I'm buckled in already, mate.
Here we go.
About 4 months later, just went down to the local bakery, got the stock standard pie and Nutella donut, and flung her a $20 note, and then sure enough, bang, $5 change with my initials on the corner.
4 months, your note had just stayed in that till?
Well, no, I didn't.
Gone around. It had gone around.
This was down the town. So
it could be about as much time as you could spend in the slammer for forgery.
Forgery. He's not copying the notes.
It's illegal to write on a bank
tender.
Note.
Yeah, legal tender.
It's dead set. Like,
has anyone been charged with that? Do you
yes,
think?
Mate.
Really?
That's a really bad crime.
Sorry, Lee. He's laughing.
I used to sign my signature on it all the time.
Oh, Lee, that's so. How many notes? Just to clarify, how many notes went out?
I think 10. It was about 8 or 10 we got together.
And you definitely didn't spend it at the bakery initially?
No, I didn't spend it at the bakery, no.
Made its way to the bakery.
Shout out to Baxter Bakery.
Oh, how good is the Baxter Bakery?
Baxter's
pies
great.
Are unbelievable.
They
pies are.
Pies are
great. The donuts are great. You can't go wrong.
Yeah, it's a good place. It's a close to
amazing. Mick. Well,
but just needs a little twist bit at the end.
I think it might have been worse. I just loved his bakery order. So that bumped it up.
The Nutella donut got you across the line. Lee, and you got a $100 iconic voucher.
You ripper.
Hey, sign the voucher, Lee, and see if you get it again.
Fifi, Fev and Nick, the pre-season on the Fox.
Two police officers in the UK, mind you, they've been given a bit of a public dressing down because they indulged in a guilty pleasure.
The bill?
That is the Automobile, because we're talking about UK police officers.
I love that show.
I loved it too.
So good. I love you. Oh, yes. I love crime.
Same. British crime's awesome. I'm sorry, not like British crime shows are awesome.
Yeah, shows. Yeah. Not
British
crime
itself, not awesome.
Yeah, not awesome.
No crime's awesome.
It's good to watch.
Anyway, these two police officers have been forced to apologise because they were caught kissing in a patrol car.
Oh, God.
They were members of the, mind you, they were kissing for about 20 minutes. So they gave members of the public ample time to get some video footage of this. They're in a Tesco car park and they've pulled in. They've apparently kissed in the car for a while, but then the female officer got out. She walked around to the driver's window and kept going through the window, though.
Oh, yeah.
She's like leaning in. Look, they've obviously,
still got the baton strapped to her.
New love blooming. They're just enjoying it, but they're working.
Can I have a look?
Yeah, there you go. Claire just wants to look closely at the photo. It's a tough one. When you find love at work, that's why often work relationships end up secretive.
Yeah, and it's like,
always
how dare those cops judge how I'm acting? You're making out in public. And you're telling me what a crime is. No, that's a crime. Disgusting.
Well, they were outed, and I don't think it was an affair or anything. But the thing, you've got to keep them under wraps now, because there are workplaces where they
sex
say...
Sex ban, bonking ban.
Yeah, you're right, absolutely. No workplace relationships. PDAs are probably a thing of the past in workplaces. We had...
PDA?
PDA, public display of affection.
Sorry, PDAs. Miss Woke.
No.
Just cutting it down.
That's not woke. It's an acronym.
Whatever, mate. An acronym. Sorry, it's an acronym. Didn't know that.
Public displays of
WTF.
Affection.
WTF.
Another one.
We had a couple who worked here a few years ago, Nick. And that was,
he was our boss.
Yeah, our boss.
Oh.
And he's now wife. Yeah. And they were very public displays of affection.
On-air talent. And on-air talent. Getting it on.
But 131060, I'd love to, we would love to hear if you are in a workplace relationship, but you're having to keep it secret.
Yeah, affair?
If we must.
That'd be juicy.
We've got voice disguises, because we'd love to hear how you make it work. How do you hide it from other people in the workplace?
Mm. Surely it's not, you can't hide that for long.
Yeah,
I think
can.
That really...
Oh, I'd love to Mate, hear.
Easy.
I'd love to
You'd
hear
be good
people
at it.
Have hidden them for a long
100%.
Time.
Right. People, you just wouldn't... Like, if I dated someone at work, I just wouldn't talk to them. I wouldn't show them anything.
You're right, but then maybe that would be really obvious because you're so nice to everybody.
Yeah, but I'd give them a little bit, but not to the extent where people go, whoa, hang on, they're getting it on.
Yeah.
They wouldn't, this would be great game to play.
131060... Also, have you had one at work? And maybe even with PDAs, public displays of affection, was it too much? Have you confronted people in the workplace and gone, it's fine that you're in a relationship. Can we not have the holding hands and cuddling on the couch in the staff room?
None of us have been with anyone from our workplace ever, I don't
think.
Anyone out there in our production team? Leon?
He's having to think.
Not at this workplace.
No, but like another work, you've got it on with someone in a workplace.
I did.
Yeah, when I worked at JJ's.
I'll be honest, I was dating somebody in sales here a few years ago.
Really? This is exciting.
No, but I remember we weren't telling anybody because you want to make sure.
Yeah.
And this was before we had our own.
Yeah.
I think we're not allowed to have relationships in the workplace anymore. Is that right, Leon?
I better tell Daniel and Josh.
Oh, good point. Yes, very good point. We've got some
Daniel
wonderful relationships in our
workplace. Save and Will.
Save and Will, but Daniel and Josh are together.
Are you joking?
Daniel,
are
the
you?
Little...
Yes!
And Josh.
Yes!
What?
I thought Josh was another dude.
Oh, no.
How long have they been together for?
They're a wonderful, beautiful couple.
Ages? I know Brennan.
Forever.
Brennan Charlotte are together.
Yeah. You're
right, actually. They work each other.
I know how to keep your relationship under wraps in the workplace, and that is don't tell Leon.
Fifi, Feb, and Nick. The pre-season on The Fox.
We're talking workplace relationships. Two police officers were busted 20 minutes making out in a car, videoed by lots of people walking by. And look, it's tough to find love in the workplace because you've got to play it down. You've also got to worry that maybe if it doesn't work out, does someone have to leave because you've got to see that person every day. So you can have secret relationships at work. Brittany from Sunbury. Hi, Brittany.
Hi.
Brittany, are you in a relationship with someone at work?
I was. We're still together, but he's changed jobs since.
Phew. Okay. How did it go when it started? And did you keep it a secret?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mostly I was family friends with the boss, and he's like almost like a sort of father to me. We were that close, that sort of family. Mm. And my husband, now husband, is 15 years older than me.
Okay.
So when we first started kind of dating in secret at work, we were too scared to tell him because we thought it'd get back to my parents, who would be absolutely shocked at the age difference.
Sugar daddy.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how did it go when it finally got out?
The boss took it totally fine, so it was okay at work, but it was probably a few months there we didn't tell anybody. My family, on the other hand, it took a long time for them to come around, but, I mean, we're married with a kid now, so. Oh.
Well done. You stuck with it. But good, smart, Brittany, you played it smart. Don't show anybody until you know you're going to stick in there, because there's no point.
She stuck with it.
I love that. Congratulations. Well,
yeah, work, I don't know how work felt about the little sneaking around where, you know, I'd go out into the warehouse and be like, oh, we just need to do a stock check just to go and say hello to each other.
That's the best bit, Brittany, isn't it? That's the best. Sorry, I got too excited there. Chloe in Sandringham. Hi, Chloe.
Good morning, Fifi. Morning, guys.
Morning.
Morning.
We're great, Chloe. Are you in a secret work relationship?
I was with my now husband. He was my manager, and we started seeing each other for about 6 months before anyone knew.
How
and
did you do it?
I codenamed him Lisa. So whenever I took any calls with girlfriends in the office and they asked where I was, I'd say I stayed at Lisa's or I went out for dinner with Lisa so that no one in the office knew.
Ah.
And eventually we actually got busted by our boss at Gold Class. He was throwing popcorn over to us.
No. Nothing like a popcorn throw.
And was he okay, Chloe? Was there any, did it ruffle any feathers?
It sure did. I ended up leaving.
Oh, you left the job.
Yeah, I did, but bigger and better things.
Yeah, great. But out of interest, why was it not well received?
Oh, I think just because he was the manager of the yeah.
Do you reckon Brittany's kid calls her dad granddad?
It's 15 years. He's like an older brother. It's not even that bad. You, P.S. Brittany was the caller before Chloe. Yeah. Fev's hung on to that joke for 3 minutes.
I didn't even hear what Chloe said.
Fifi, Fev and Nick, the pre-season on the Fox.
All right now, Boxy, Nick and I have got a little surprise for you. We have been trying so hard to get this wonderful guest on our show.
Oh dear.
She got us through a lot last year. We talked about her an awful lot on our show, and she's also competed in Dancing with the Stars, and she's on the show to give you some tips, because this is your second time, the wonderful Carol Baskin!
Carol Baskin? Wow!
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens.
Hi, Carol!
Hello. Your second time? Is that true?
It is. Yes. So, Carol, I competed in Dancing with the Stars 14 years ago, and we're doing an all-star version where we're coming back to do it. But you're right. You just did it.
It was the hardest thing I've ever done. And I was going to give you some advice to just buy all the dancing tape you can possibly find and wrap your feet now.
I've got blisters all over my skin. I've got raw skin around my feet, Carol. It's horrible, isn't it? When you go from no dancing, were you a dancer? Did you ever do dancing as a kid?
No, this was the first time I had ever danced.
Wow. And how did you go?
I was so bad at it.
No, you were good. I watched a little bit of it online. You were great.
The costumes were great.
The costumes were good.
How did you go, Carol? Where did you place in the end?
I was out by the third episode.
Okay, no, that's better than
the first.
Wow, Carol, this is such a surprise. The boys have surprised me. Now, we did, as Fev said, we were obsessed last year with obviously
the
Tiger King documentary. I hope you don't mind me bringing that up, but it just took Australia by storm and fascinating. I mean, how has that changed your life? Like, do people talk to you about that every day? Are you able to get away from it?
64 million households, Boxy.
Wow.
Watched.
It was Crazy, absolutely crazy. And, you know, I'm really thankful that it came during COVID-19 because I couldn't go anywhere anyway. So the few times, you know, like going back and forth to my home and work on my bike, I get mobbed every time I try to do that. But if I had to have like a real life during that year, that would have been really difficult, I think.
Yes. There we go. Some positives from coronavirus. What dance did you enjoy the most? What did you find easiest and what did you find most difficult?
The Viennese waltz was really me because my grandmother had taught me to walk with books on my head and I loved, you know, that smooth sailing around. I was horrible at the Paso Doble and the Samba, which were very bouncy and marchy kind of things. Mm. But I really loved the Viennese waltz. How about you? Which one did you love?
Well, I really love the salsa. And I really disliked the cha-cha. And, Carol, they've got me dancing the cha-cha first up. So I think they knew the degree of difficulty and they upped it. So did you – because the cha-cha, I was a bit of a clip-clopper. And they like that feet, you know, never lift your feet off the floor. But I instinctively –
you got to glide on air.
I'm a trotter. How'd you go with the cha-cha?
I didn't do the cha-cha.
Oh, there you go. Oh. There you go. You were lucky.
Dodged it.
My favourite boxing, Argentinian tango.
That was
a great good. Dance. Now, Carol, I'm going to go here, and I hope you don't mind. Now, Joe Exotic, have you spoke to him at all? Has he spoke to you since he's been in the clink?
You know, people would be surprised to know that I never spoke to Joe before.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Ever. So, no, we haven't spoken.
Carol, if there was another show, another reality show you could go on, what would you pick and why?
You know, I don't watch reality shows, so I don't know, but we're this close to signing a deal to do our own reality show about the work that we do here at the sanctuary, as far as like how we expose the people that are abusing animals and then bring in law enforcement and then get the animals into decent sanctuaries. So that's the reality show I plan to be in. But as far as like any that are currently in play, I never watched them, so I wouldn't know the names of them. Okay. I had never heard of Stars before I was on that.
Wow. I mean, Carol, so much has happened to you in a 12-month period from, you know, in terms of Australia, there's a lot of obscurity. Like, we didn't know your story. And now, and because I'm ill-prepared for this, I didn't know we were talking to you. I'm sure there are, at the moment, movies being made about you. And I remember rumours coming up of who might play you. Now, someone may have been cast already, but who would you like to play you if a movie was made of your life?
If I were going to choose somebody, I would say Meryl Streep is probably more my age and my personality.
Yeah, I could see that,
just
actually.
Just go to the top. Straight to the top.
Multiple Oscar winner,
yeah,
I believe.
Just Meryl.
Good call.
Just quickly, any misconceptions, just while we've got this moment and Australians can hear from you, what was the biggest misconception from that documentary series that you would love to set the record straight on?
Well, it took them 7 hours to weave the lies that they told, so it would take me way longer.
Good answer.
Press that online at bigcatrescue.org/Netflix, and we go through the whole series minute by minute. Here's what you were seeing, and here's what was the truth behind the scenes.
Carol,
so figure that out from there.
Netflix went to you for season 2 of The Tiger King, and you rejected that. Well, why was that?
I had worked with them for 5 years because they said they were working on the equivalent of Blackfish for big cats. Did you guys see Blackfish there?
No.
No.
Is that the SeaWorld one?
About orcas and SeaWorld, yeah.
Yeah.
So this was going to expose how these big cats are mistreated in captivity and how it's causing their extinction in the wild. That was what we were sold on for 5 years. And so when Tiger King was being teased before it came out on Netflix, we actually contacted the producers and we were like, who's working on that film? Because you said Joe Exotic is about 5 minutes of your show. Oh. And all of a sudden they didn't want to talk to us anymore. And so we sat through the entire thing like everybody else did and were just horrified at what they had done. And so when they came back to me and said, you know, we'd like to clear the air, I said, lose my number.
Gosh, let's see what they do to Harry and Meghan if they do that to you. Thank you so much for your time, Carol Baskin, and the tips for Dancing with the Stars. You did provide us with a lot of entertainment last year, so thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Beefy, Fev and Nick. The preseason on the Fox.
Gordon Ramsay, top chef, and angry chef too, which he celebrates. And the thing about Gordon Ramsay is I think it's quite clever what he's done in his career. Obviously, brilliant chef. and then realize to really make it in and cut through in the media is to really celebrate that image of just being an angry, sweary man. He's like really this.
I just want to go with some food. Can't even get two dishes together.
Really held on to it, hadn't he?
Yes.
I was looking at, mate, I can't believe we're talking about Gordon Ramsay. I was stalking his Insta page yesterday.
Why?
Just interesting, because I was hungry.
Things you managed to do in your downtime?
He made this amazing Eggs Benedict yesterday. Oh, God. It looked unbelievable. And when he cut the egg open on top, it was just that perfect blend of like soft and hard. Like you don't like eggs?
No, yuck.
What?
Not a fan.
That's a chat like for another day. We'll come back to that.
Sorry, I was on the swings.
I know you're on the swings.
He jumped off.
And I was going to say, why I think that's all a carry-on and it's not really what he's like is because I told you when I was in the gym with him and he happily changed the channel and turned it down for me. He is a nice man, but he's got him, not in hot water, but he's ended up making the news because a diner at one of his restaurants was left furious. And then they shared this on I think, social media somewhere and it's gone viral. They were left with a bill for a dinner for two at one of his restaurants. $830 it left them.
Did they drink?
$830 from, I can read it. This is what it was. One butternut squash, one beef tartare, one beef Wellington, one cream spinach, one mac and cheese. Gordon Ramsay's doing mac and cheese. One fingerling potato, $15 glass of wine. Oh, that's all it was.
Okay. How many though?
Total. Yeah. Well, it says here one.
Because that's what I always find. Like you go out for dinner and you order dinner and it's like, I don't know, a couple $100 between six people.
Yeah.
But the bill's $1,000. You go, how? Because you just keep ordering champagne and wine and it gets expensive.
Well, when you go overseas, not that let's be honest, this probably won't happen for a long time again, but once upon a time when we were able to travel, I remember one of the most awkward experiences I had was in New York, and it was with my mum and my stepdad, and I'll never forget this.
Was that it? Just travelling with your mum? No, I'm an adult. This is awkward.
Really, they all travel together.
Really?
I love travelling with my family. Mm-hmm. We did. We've travelled really well together. Yeah. But we were in New York, and we went to this restaurant that mum had read about, and it was like one of the top restaurants.
Of course it was.
And of course. You expect to pay. So you go, I know this is going to cost a few hundred, because that's what it's going to cost, because it's a top restaurant. We sat down. And it was one of those restaurants where it was a set menu.
Mm.
So you have to have, it was like a degustation. Yeah. And that's the only option. Because this is the thing that bugs me about fancy restaurants is they make you do it their way.
Yeah.
Like you could go to a fancy restaurant and just have the entree and you might get away and not spending $100.
Or just the bread they give you before you have to order anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Walk out. That. Yeah.
And it was in New York and I kid you not, it was about $1,000 a head.
Wow.
So I sat there because we could see.
What?
So the waiter brought around the menus and then we looked at them and realised, it wasn't like just pick a couple of things. You had to eat the whole thing and it was going to cost about $1,000 Australian.
You ever walk out? I've walked out.
No, we did. Oh, Nick, it was so embarrassing. We had to. We actually had to say, I'm so sorry. This is not what we want to spend. And then they were really nice though. They put a sort of, We left the restaurant, but they had like this little bar area. They just sat us up there and gave us some hors d'oeuvres.
Oh, that's a
bad one. No. Sorry. $1,000 a head restaurant.
Did you say
you're
this
eating
before
peanuts.
You ate, though?
Yeah, that's the menus.
I can't pay this bill. I'm so sorry. I've got to go. Well,
we had to walk out before we'd ordered because we looked at it and went, there's no way we're spending that much money on food. Like, no way. So we had to say, I'm sorry, we need to leave now.
It was like that time, Boxy. I don't know, Nick knows this story, but I went out with a couple of high-profile mates and all the poker players at the casino years and years ago. It would have been 15 years ago. And Alex, obviously, I'm on a wage from Alex. So just give us $100 because that's all I'm going to need. So she put $100 in my account. We all sat around. And all I had, because I was playing footy at the time, all I had was literally a steak. That was it. I didn't have any alcohol. We were there for a couple of hours, didn't have any alcohol, had no entree, just ate a steak because I'm on a diet.
Like Anthony Albanese's meal the other night.
That was a really nice restaurant. And then at the end, the bill came to $22,000.
Jeez.
Because the boys were drinking. Because they'd all been drinking big, like $1,000 bottles of red. There was like 20 of us. There was a lot of people.
$22,000 for a meal.
They're all the poker players. And then we're all sitting there.
So
and
this is Warney and Joe Hashem.
Warney, Joe Hashem, all those boys.
I guarantee you see a $22,000 bill, I don't care how good you are at poker, you're not keeping that under wraps.
Mate, the
poker face melts real
quick.
No,
it was card roulette. So everyone had to put their credit card in the thingo into a hat.
into a
bowl.
You would have been confident.
And mate, I had my Commonwealth MasterCard debit. Wasn't even a credit card. I put it in. I was that nervous, and Joe Hashem drew it out. So whoever draws out that card has to pay for the bill. So he paid for the whole lot, and he said it was his third time in a row he'd been out for lunch with those blokes, and he had to pay.
I
was sweating bullets, man.
That is appalling money. Like, that's disgusting.
Yeah, but they were drinking like $1,000 bottles of red.
That's not helping. So, that's actually made me angrier.
It's just yuck.
Mate, I spent like $30 on a steak.
That's a home deposit.
Hilariously Melbourne.